We continue our learning. We're in Yom Perek Zayin, Mishneh Hey. Kohen Gadol Mishamesh Bishmona Kalim, Vahed Yo Barba. So the Kohen Gadol would serve with the eight Kalim, the eight vestments that he wore, and the hedya with four. What are the four? Bichsones, which is the long shirt, the tunic, umichnasayim, which are the shorts, umitznef, the pants, short pants, umitznefes, which is the hat, vavnet, and the belt. Most of all, love Kohen Gadol, choshen, the breastplate, the ephod, the apron, umi'il, the coat, which was kulo tcheles, and they had the pa'amonim and the rimonim on the bottom, vatzitz, and the head plate made out of gold, which had the words Kodesh Lashem engraved on top. Then the Mishnah says, Be'elu nish'olin be'urim v'tumim. The Kohen Gadol, in order to inquire from the Urim v'tumim, had to be wearing these eight clothing. Now, how would you ask the Urim v'tumim? How would that work? So the Mefarshim explained, the Kohen Gadol would stand with his facing the Aron, and the one who had this inquiry would stand behind him, and his face was facing the behind of the Kohen. Some say, no, he was facing the Kohen. And either way, the Shoel, who had to have this inquiry, would say, should I do the following? Whatever it is, whatever the inquiry is, going out to war, based on that a question. And he would not ask B'kol Rom, nor would he think it. He would have to ask in a soft voice, as if he's almost like davening Shmona Esrei. And the Ruach HaKodesh would then descend upon the Kohen Gadol. He would look at the Choshen and he would see the letters that would stick out or maybe shine in front of him, and he would tell him, I say kach v'kach, either do this or don't do this, because as we know, all of the Aleph Beis was found on the Choshen. We had the names of the 12 Shvatim, and afterwards the words Shiftei Ka and Avam Yitzchak and Yaakov, and therefore we had all of the letters that we needed. Now, Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach HaKodesh that would descend upon the Kohen Gadol would allow him to take those jumbled letters and make some sense of them. And that's why we say in the Gemara, Yom HaDaf Ayin Gimel, Kol Kohen Shemidabe Ruach HaKodesh Ushrina Shora Alav Shalimbo. If you have a Kohen who speaks with divine inspiration, Ruach HaKodesh, the Shechina rests upon him, you can make inquiries from him for the Urim V'tumim. But if you ain't medaber Ruach HaKodesh, v'ein Shechina Shora Alav, ein Shalimbo. And so that's what the Gemara says, and that's what the Rambam explains. So what exactly was the Urim V'tumim? So Rashi claims it was a piece of parchment that had the same Amaforosh that was upon it, and that was what allowed the letters on the Choshen to light up. Who wrote that? Well, maybe some say Moshe wrote this based on a message that Hashem gave him. There was Kedusha to it. Others say the Urim V'Tumim was not made by man at all. Hashem wrote it and gave it to Moshe. Ibn Ezra has this wild shita that this was related to astrology. They were gold or silver forms and somehow connected to the Mazalos. And the Rambam relates that it's the Urim V'Tumim is maybe the stones themselves that are affixed to the Choshen as well. Urim V'Tumim, from the word Or, Rashi quotes it's Ala Torah, Or means they would illuminate and clarify things, the words of whoever was asking the question, and Tumim means complete. They would be able to fulfill their words based on the Urim V'Tumim. The Mishnah here continues the following: the Ein Nishalim El Ala Melech Ulebeisdin Ulemisha Hatzibur Tzarechbo. You couldn't have anybody just come and ask and inquire of the Urim V'Tumim. You wanted to consult the Urim V'Tumim, so only the Kohen Gadol could only be asked to consult the Urim V'Tumim if it was for the Melech or the Beisdin, meaning the Sanhedrin, or someone that the Tzibur needed. The Gemara says on Ayin Gimel that this may refer to the Kohen Mashuach Melchama in order to go out to war. The Rambam, however, in Klei HaMikdash explains that this is referring to the Kohen that was anointed for war or for someone else that they needed for the public. It doesn't have to be, when the Gemara says that the person is Mashuach Melchama, it doesn't have to be the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. It can be anyone that's needed for war. The Gemara says that the drasha from the pasuk, it says lefnei Elazar haKohen yaamod v'shaalo b'mishpat haurim haurim lefnei Hashem al piv yetsu v'al piv yavo Hu v'chol b'nei Yisraeli tov v'chol ha'eda. So there are different references in this pasuk. We darshan here who that refers to the melech. That at that time the pasuk was referring to Yoshua, who had the status of a melech, and so did Moshe have the status of a melech. V'chol b'nei Yisrael ito. That's the mashuach melchama. The b'nei Yisrael went out to war with him. And as we said, the Rambam says anyone that Tzibur needed, and the Chol Ha'eda, that's a reference to the Sanhedrin. As we know, it says V'shaftu Ha'eda. Ha'eda is a reference to Sanhedrin. So who is the Melech? Chol B'nei Yisrael Ito, that's someone needed for war, and the Chol Ha'eda, that's a reference to the Sanhedrin. We begin the eighth parak, the final parak of Yomah. Now we begin a discussion of all of the laws that are relevant today, because it's not related to the Avodah. These are the general laws of Yom Kippur. We begin with the Chamesh Inuyim that we have in the first Mishnah. So Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph says the following: Yom HaKippurim Asur Ba'achila Uveshesia Uverechitza Uvesicha Uvenilas Hasandal V'Tashma Shamita. Achila is can't eat, Shesia is no drinking, Rechitza is washing the body, Sicha is anointing, smearing oils, Uvenilas Hasandal is wearing leather shoes, and Tashma Shamita is marrow relations. These are all prohibited. The Gemara learns that Achila and Shesia are really one, because Shesia is included in Achila, and therefore we have five. Now, the five Inuyim and are derived, you see, from the Psukim, because the Psukim mentions the word Inui, torture, suffering, five times. It says, V'chodesh ha-shvi'i be'asor la-chodesh te'anu es nafsho sechem. That's in Vayikra, that's in Acharemos. Shabbat shabbasun hi lachem v'inisem es nafsho sechem. Another pasuk in Acharemos. Ach be'asor la-chodesh ha-shvi'i hazeh yom ha-kippurim hu v'inisem es nafsho sechem. So that's in Parshas Emor. Shabbat shabbasun hi lachem v'inisem es nafsho sechem. That's also in Emor. And uve'asor la-chodesh ha-shvi'i hazeh v'inisem es nafsho sechem. That's in the in Pinchas, those are all of the maftirs that we have. Doesn't it say in Emor as well, ki chol hanefesh asher lo ti'uneh be'etzem ayom hazeh v'nechosam ha'ameh is going to incur kares? So that's only a reference to Achila and Shesia. The other Inuyim do not have the punishment of kares. Only eating and drinking has the punishment of kares. And the Mefarshim have a debate as to why. Some hold that all of the Inuyim are d'oraisa. After all, the Braisa says, minayim liyom ha-kippurim she'asu b'rechitza v'sicha u'b'nis la'sand of tashm shamita. And the Braisa quotes a pasuk, tam lamar, shabbason. It says, shabbason ilochem, a day of rest, the way we cease from activity. In this case, it's ceasing not only from melacha, but from eating and drinking. And it says Shabbason, and that sounds like comes to include all of Shabbat, Shabbason Yilachem, V'nisem Ezeh Shoseichem. So if you're telling me that all of these five are also because it says Shabbason, it sounds like we're quoting, this is the proof text. This is the source in the Torah for this prohibition. But nonetheless, it does say, but the fact that it mentions V'nisem Ezeh Shoseichem, that's your nefesh, that's torturing, that's causing your nefesh to suffer, that's only a reference to Achil and Shesia. And therefore, it's true, Shabbat Shabbason Hilachem, but V'inisem es nafsho zechem, that where you are going to be chai of kares, eki al nefesh asher lo si'uneh, the nefesh that doesn't torture itself, v'nechvesam e'ameh, that's only Achila u'shesia. That is the way the Ran understands. However, others, Tosus the Meiri, learns the following. Min ha-Torah, there's only in a nefesh, which means achila and shesia, eating and drinking. And that's what we have chayv kares on. But as opposed to the Ran, who claims the other inuim are d'oraisa from Shabbason, but nonetheless there's no kares. No, Tosus says the other inuim only midrabbanan. All of the drushas that we have, the fact that there's the word inu is written five times, and I have Shabbason, that's all an asmachta, it's a din d'rabbanan with a support or a hint in the Torah, but that's all. Now, even according to the ones who hold that that the other inuyim are de oraisa, since they are not mefurish in the pasuk, because when it says inu nefesh, as we said, that's only achiyu shasiya. The others are darshan from shabbason, so even though they're min haTorah, they have a certain leniency over and above eating and drinking, in the sense that this is an example that musam hakasav lechachamim. It was entrusted to the chachamim to decide what falls into that category and what does not. Where do we have the right to be lenient? Yes, if you violate these other inuyim, washing, anointing, nilas hasadol, tashmim hamita, it's true that even according to the opinion that there are deoraisa, yes, they may be deoraisa based on the psukim. Nonetheless, because it's not explicit in the pasuk, it says shabbason, so it's from there that we give the right to the chacham to decide what's included in that deoraisa and what's not. Similar to chol hamoed, even if you hold chol hamoed, malacha chol hamoed is deoraisa, that's an example of masrum hakasav lechachamim. And therefore, as we'll see, we have heterim. So as the Mishnah says, v'ha-melech v'ha-kala yirchatzu es b'nehem, a king and a kala, a woman who was married, a bride who was married within the first 30 days of a marriage, are able to wash themselves, their faces, on Yom Kippur. A melech, because the pasuk says in Shayo, alam and gimel, melech b'yafyo techezen einecha, we should always behold the king in his beauty, and the kala, so she doesn't become disgusting to her husband the first 30 days afterwards, and therefore she's able to wash her face. And their poskim say, the chayad, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the chayad, who says, since we spend all the time in shul, so this halacha would not apply to a kala even within the first 30 days. We're not concerned about tiskana al bala. But then the Mishnah says, v'hachaya, and a woman who is given birth, tinol esasando. She's able to wear leather shoes, comfortable shoes, because the cold, as Gemara says, the cold floor is going to be difficult for her. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And this is not only true regarding a chaya, the Gemara assumes this is true about the melech and the kala as well are able to wear leather shoes. The chachamim osrim, and the chachamim say no. Melech and a kala cannot... the melech and the kala cannot wash their faces, and a chaya is not allowed to wear leather shoes.